Today's scripture reading is Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So I hope this week that you were able to feel the peace in the pastures, that you were able to feel God as your shepherd, guiding you, providing for you. So today we're going to take the second half of Psalm, and we're going to look at how he gives us courage in the valley. All right. And, you know, I had a really pretty picture of the valley last week, and I realized that's not really what valleys probably looked like in Israel. And so valleys are very much rugged, very narrow, sometimes called ravines. And the shepherd would lead the sheep through the valley to get to the next feeding area, to the next pasture, right? So it was necessary for them to go through that valley, all right? And obviously different animals could be hiding in those rocks. Those rocks could be very scary, but the shepherd needed to take them through that ravine to get to their next feeding place. So let's talk a little bit about courage in the valley. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Some interpretations say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you might have been thinking that as you were listening to the NIV translation. So I want to take a minute and I want to talk to you kind of personally for a second. I want to talk a little bit about the valley that many of you know I just walked through with my son. And during that time in that valley, I was in bed asleep. We were taking turns on sleeping at the hospital or sleeping at home, and I was at home that night and I was asleep. And I woke to this song in my head. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. I was like, a Beatles song? Like, where did that come from? Where did a Beatles song I haven't heard from in ever? Speaking words of wisdom. And I said to my Lord, let it be. How can I let it be, Lord? My son is so sick, and I don't know what the answer is going to be, and I don't know how we're going to fix this. And then he said, and I'm going to say this, I have been in the church my entire life. I went to a Baptist college. I was born and raised Baptist. But the number of times that I've actually physically heard the Lord speaking to me are very few. But in that moment, I heard him as if he was sitting right there in bed with me. And he said, speaking words of wisdom, you didn't hear the last part, Bobby. Let it be. And let me. Now, that didn't take that valley away. I was still in the valley. But I knew I had a shepherd in that valley. I had a shepherd there. So this rings so true to me. Even though I walk in the darkest of valleys, maybe some of you are in a dark valley right now. Maybe your shepherd is leading you through that dark valley. But even though I walk through that dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. God doesn't promise us no valleys. Just because I signed up for Christ's army doesn't mean I'm not going to go through valleys. He doesn't tell us that. He tells us, even when you're there, I'm there. I'm there, Bobby. I'm there. So I searched for a picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, because for me, there could be no better picture of being in a valley and there being lots of reason to be scared. You know, it talks about that Jesus was sweating blood. That's not hyperbole. That's truly something that can happen. It's called, I was looking at Mark to see if he was going to help me out, hemotodriasis. I don't know. I'm close. Yeah, that.
Yeah, Dr. Raleigh told me about it.
Yeah. That's okay. You are in so much agony that your sweat glands rupture, and you are literally sweating blood. That's where our Lord and Savior was on the night he was crucified. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was scared. I love thinking that he has experienced my fear. And I love, how many of y'all have ever seen The Passion of Christ, the movie, all right?
Sobbed all the way through.
Oh, I know, right? The scene in Gethsemane is so amazing, if you remember it. Jesus is there, and the serpent is going around his legs. In other words, he's being tempted to do what Adam and Eve did. Turn away from God. Don't follow God's guidance. And what does he say? He says, hey, you know, if we could come up with a plan B, I'm fine with that. I'm paraphrasing. He said something about a cup or something. But not my will, but your will. That's how we deal with fear. Jesus showed us how to deal with fear, even fear that causes us to sweat blood. Never promises there won't be a valley. All he promises is that he will be there. He will be there. I made Mark listen to a song this morning that was the one of my favorite songs. It was, I don't know about y'all, but when I went through my divorce, I had a divorce song. You had to have a song that was your divorce song. I had a divorce song. My divorce song was, sometimes he calms the storm, but other times he calms his child. He may not take away the storm, but he's going to be there. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I thought this was interesting. Maybe you all knew this, but I didn't. There's two different things there. There's the rod and there's the staff. And the rod was this very heavy club that he could club the wild animals, or actually most shepherds were really good at throwing it and could actually throw it at an animal and knock the animal out, right? So he protects us when he is there. And then the staff, which is what we usually think of when we think of shepherds, right? They're holding those staffs. The staff is for guidance, right? If a sheep gets too far away, it can actually be hooked back into the herd. If it gets too close to the cliff, it can be brought back so it won't fall over the cliff. He protects us and he guides us in those valleys where there's predators. He guides us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Interesting. Well, here's what you need to know. Once the shepherd got the sheep to the place where they were going to eat, he had to make sure that the snakes would not come out of the hole. I mean, just the idea of snakes coming out of a hole. He had to protect from these very specific snakes. Adders. I keep putting P's where the D's are. Adder snakes. all right? And they're down in the hole, and shepherds would actually pour oil into the hole so the snake couldn't get out because it'd be too slippery. Oh. So I make a table for you, my sheep, even in the presence of your enemies. One of my favorite resurrection stories is the story on the beach. Do y'all remember that story? Peter is out there fishing. And you remember, Peter was the one that said, I will go to all ends of the earth for you, Jesus, until I'm faced with having to do that, and then I deny you three times. Right? Remember Peter, he must have been feeling so bad about himself. And he's out doing what they did naturally. They went fishing. And suddenly they see on the shore Jesus. Wow. And they jump out of the boats and they run up to the shore. And what is Jesus doing? I love this part. He's cooking breakfast. He's making a table for them. He's cooking fish. I love the idea that my resurrected Lord would make lunch, breakfast for me. But the best part comes next, right? When Jesus looks at Peter, the man that betrayed him, that he knew was going to, and he said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "You know I do." And he said, "Feed my sheep." And then he said it again. "Do you love me? You know I do. Feed my sheep." And he said it a third time. "Do you love me? Yeah, you know I do, Jesus. Then feed my sheep." Do you think it's a coincidence that Jesus asked him three times after he had betrayed Jesus three times? Absolutely not. Jesus was taking away his guilt. Even in the presence of that internal enemy, Jesus made breakfast. And then he brought Peter back to himself. Ah, what an amazing Lord we have. Amen. Because we all know, sometimes our worst enemies aren't out there in the world. They're right here. And when they are, Jesus, God, our Yahweh, our shepherd, never, never leaves us alone. He cooks us breakfast. He cooks me breakfast. Amen. Now, if I had to have a favorite part of the Psalm 23, it would be, "You anoint my head with oil." Now, I know that's not a sheep. I know it's a horse. I couldn't find a sheep with flies in their eyes, so forgive me. Now, some people have interpreted that "he anoints my head with oil" about the fact that when special guests came, you would anoint their head with oil. But I heard another one that really speaks to me. Shepherds carried oil with them because sheep get flies in their eyes, right? Now, what do we do if we get a fly in our eye? Swat it. Can you imagine a sheep trying to swat flies out of its eyes? Going to be pretty tough. Thanks, Michael. I needed the sound effect. Thank you. They get so distressed by flies in their eyes. You know what they do? They start pounding their head against the nearest object and can actually become unconscious. Can even kill themselves by smacking their head against a post trying to get those flies out of their eyes. But you know what? My shepherd anoints my head with oil. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever had that day? Nothing bad went bad. Nothing was bad. It wasn't a valley. It was just lots of flies in your eyes. You know, your husband speaks kind of harshly to you before you left for work. your coworkers, they won't even respond to the emails you've sent them over and over again. Gosh darn it. You got five things you gotta get done today, and none of them are fun. Flies in your eyes. My daughters are smiling because I've used this verse for years with them. They'll sometimes call me and they'll say, how's it going, Mom? I go, oh gosh, I got so many flies in my eyes. I need a little bit of shepherd oil. My shepherd doesn't just care about things that are going to kill me. Those flies are not going to kill him unless the sheep start pounding their head. He cares enough about me to want me to not be irritated. He wants to get the flies out of my eyes. And he does it by anointing my head with oil. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. My cup overflows. I don't know, guys, maybe I just go down rabbit holes, but I'm about to go down another one, so just get ready, right? In David's day, if you let your guests' wine glass be empty, it meant go home. It's empty. You're not getting any more wine. Just head on home, all right? If you wanted your guests to stay, you would keep pouring more wine in their cup, right? And if you really wanted them to know, they overflowed your cup to tell you, we want you here. I have to think about how much wine is on my tablecloth. Because God overflows my cup. Do you see it? It's so cool. He protects me in the valleys, right? He gets the flies out of my eyes, and he keeps pouring wine in my cup. What an amazing God we have. Amen. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That's a picture, a depiction of the prodigal son's dad. Remember the prodigal son?
Yep.
He did lots of bad stuff. And when his father saw him all the way down at the end of the driveway, he didn't just stand there and say, come on up here, I'm gonna see about this. He pulled up his robes, which was totally, you didn't ever show your ankles, and he ran. And people that were rich or classy never ran anywhere. That was seen as being very low life. But not for this dad. This dad pulled up his robe and he ran to his son, regardless of what his son had done. Oh my gosh. Your goodness and love, they pursue me. You're following me around. When I get off the path, you're right behind me. When the sheep go lost, what does he do? He leaves all the other sheep and he goes for that lost sheep. He pursues us. He loves us so much, he pursues us. He runs after us with his love. He didn't turn his back on us. I've turned my back on him sometimes. And you know what? Hey, Bobby. I'm back here, Bobby. He pursues us with his love. And surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want to say, first of all, we should never forget that the kingdom of heaven is right here and now. Don't wait for heaven. The kingdom of heaven is right here and now. But we also must never forget, we're just passing through. You know, I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking, yeah, like, I'd like to go to fancy hotels. Hang out in a fancy hotel, you know. Wow, this is such a cool hotel. But it's not home. We're all in our hotel right now. Don't decorate the walls of this hotel. You're only passing through. Amen. Enjoy it. Like, I don't think God says, be miserable here, and then you can be happy in heaven. It's joy. It's joy. You know, Colin said to me this morning, he was making me laugh, as always, and he said something about, you know, sometimes I'm not sure I should be in church, because I said, oh, no. God loves laughter. He loves us to laugh. It's healthy to laugh. So we enjoy our hotel, but then there's nothing like going home. And so surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, courage in your valley. Are you in a dark valley right now? Not really sure how you're going to get out? Look up. Are the flies in your eyes so bad right now? You feel like pounding your head against something that will make them go away? Look up. Is your cup empty? Look up. I once heard somebody say, I'm not sure it's true, if you're in a valley and you keep looking up, you won't know you're in a valley. I don't know. I keep thinking, yeah, you'll probably know that. But I know this. If I look up, I see my shepherd, who never promises me no valleys, who never promises me no flies in my eyes, but he promises one thing. He will always be there.